Now it's time to play Good Thing, Bad Thing. Because every story has a flip side. Now, deep in the remote mountains, there are legends of an elusive figure that lives in the cold, snowy wilderness. Locals and scientists have debated his existence for ages. No, I'm not talking about Santa Claus. I'm talking about the Yeti or the abominable snowman. And now researchers have analyzed 9 samples supposedly left by Yeti and published their results this week in the journal The Proceedings of the Royal Society B. So, can we confirm the legend or not Yeti? Here with the envelope, please, is Stephanie Gill, a PhD candidate in the Biological Sciences, University of Buffalo, who worked on the Yeti research. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Glad
to be here.
You're very, very nice to have you. If there is bad news in this story, I guess it's for the fans of the Yeti, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, what happened to the samples? What did they turn out to be?
They all turned out to be from local bears from the area, with the exception of one that was from a dog, actually.
And what area was that?
So from the Himalaya area and the Tibetan Plateau area.
Hmm. And you tested 9 different Yeti samples. How did you get them?
So the Icon Film Company actually approached us and said that they had these samples, and they wanted to use these samples and have us DNA test them to try and get to the bottom of this myth, or at least to hopefully illuminate some more information about this myth and see what science had to say about it.
And so what kind of tests did you run on them?
So we extracted DNA from hair, skin, fecal matter, bone, and the one tooth of a dog.
Say that again, the tooth of a dog.
Yes, it ended up being the tooth of a dog. It was actually a chimeric taxonomic specimen. It was a stuffed Yeti from the Mesner Mountain Museum, and we took hair from this supposed stuffed Yeti, and we took a tooth from the supposed stuffed Yeti, and the hair ended up being of Tibetan brown bear, but the tooth ended up being of a dog.
I guess you use what you got, right?
Right.
The Yeti's loss is good news for the Himalayan and Tibetan brown bears. What did you find out about these bears? You learned something about them.
Oh, yes. So the Himalayan brown bear, now that we have sequenced the first new mitochondrial genome of them, we know that they are representative of the most ancient lineage of brown bears, which is really interesting. It seems like these bears had migrated into this area, and they've been isolated ever since. And then the Tibetan brown bear, which geographically is located pretty close to the Himalayan brown bear, the two are separated by the Himalayan mountain range. We had thought that perhaps the Tibetan brown bear was more closely related to the Himalayan brown bear, but now with these better sequences, we can see that they're actually very genetically dissimilar, which suggests that the Tibetan brown bear colonized that area in a separate migratory event.
Wow. So how big are the populations of these bears?
So the population of the Himalayan brown bears are very small. They're endangered, and they're estimated to be less than 300 in the wild.
Wow.
So it has an important conservational perspective as well.
Hmm. So now that you've given all those Yeti folks the bad news, what about still Sasquatch and Bigfoot and those others? Are they're distinct from Yeti, right? Or is the jury still out on those?
I think that there has been some research into the Sasquatch in North America, and that they found that many samples, once the DNA was sequenced, was bare. But in any case, certainly if somebody wanted to do a survey of Sasquatch samples, they could take a very similar approach to what we did with the Yeti samples.
Are you asking for Sasquatch samples?
If somebody wants to send us Sasquatch samples, they're welcome to, but not particularly asking.
Okay, we won't tell anybody. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Great stuff.
Thank, Thanks so much.
Stephanie Gill, PhD candidate in the biological sciences at my alma mater, University of Buffalo. After this break, President Obama's net neutrality rules could be over in just a couple of weeks. What kind of internet could we get as a result? We've got lots of guests talking about internet neutrality after the break. You can give us a call, 844-724-8255. Or tweet us at SciFry, 844-724-8255. We'll be right back after this break.